be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask him how he wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, keeping close. Are you struggling to connect with someone you care about? Whether that's your spouse, a child, whether that's a younger child or an adult child, your parent, a family member, a friend. We want to help you bridge the gap and discover what you can do next to create that closeness you're longing for. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
You know, there are just so many things that can separate us. You know, we're all part of a fallen world, so there's old injuries, there's the busyness of everyday life, there's getting caught up in other things. There are other relationships that come into people's lives, like when our older kids get married or move farther away or start a new job, and suddenly friends, kids, even our own marriages shift and change, and it can feel like we're not as close to those people that we've really loved and invested in or want to invest in. We just want to be closer, and we don't know how to make it happen, and we're here to help you figure it out today on More to Life. So is there a relationship in your life right now where you want more closeness, but you're not sure how to pursue it in a healthy way? Do you feel guilty for wanting a deeper emotional or spiritual connection with your spouse, a family member, a friend, but wonder if you're asking too much? Are you in a strained relationship and you're unsure whether to keep trying or set boundaries or even just let it go? What's one relationship God may be asking you to heal, deepen, or approach differently so you can build a stronger community of love?
Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'd love to discuss your thoughts on any of those questions and how we can help you keep close to the people that you care about on our show today titled Keeping Close. 877-573-7825. You know, I as we were preparing for the show, I was reflecting. We had dinner with some friends last night, and it's funny because we're very close with them, but there was a time where, you know, even though we got along really well, we didn't see them for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it was just because we were all busy,
yeah.
Right? And so because of that, we actually developed a new habit with all of our friends, where at the end of our visit, before we go, we make sure to pull out our phones and make a date for another visit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I think
otherwise,
it was the
4 years will go by.
Wife and the people we were with last night who came up with the idea. Because honestly, if you're like, oh yeah, I'll get in touch with you, you know, we'll set something up, and then you know, you rush through a day, and then you're thinking, well, I can't call them now, or I can't text them now. It's 11 o'clock at night. I just finished my day. Oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow, and it goes on and on and on. So we had to be really intentional about, hey, we care about this enough to invest in, let's set up another time right now.
Yeah, and, you know, so that's a simple thing, and that's one way that we've kind of developed to keep that closer connection with the people that we care about. But, you know, the fact is they wanted to see us just as much as we want to see them. Unfortunately, in a lot of relationships, that's not always the case.
Yeah.
You know, we would like to have a stronger marriage, but our spouse doesn't seem on board. We'd like to be closer with an adult child, but they're always so busy or seem irritated when we talk to them. Or for that matter, we'd like to get along better with one of our younger kids, but, you know, we just kind of clash personally. Or maybe it's a friendship issue, or you'd like to be closer with your parent, but something just, you know, either old hurts or other issues are coming between you and that person. We want to help you close the gap and bring healing, health, and holiness to all of your relationships today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how can some old theology help me have closer relationships? Well, glad you asked. So here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a really huge question. Basically, he said, if we took everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, you name it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now today call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we were created for connection, not just casual contact, but real, intimate, loving relationships in this life and the next in the communion of saints. God made us in his image, and since God is a communion of persons, it makes sense that our hearts and bodies ache for communion too.
And I'm glad you pointed that out, because that longing for connection isn't just psychological, it's or spiritual for that matter, it's biological. You know, research shows that our bodies actually function better when we're in close, healthy relationships. For example, our immune systems are stronger, inflammation is lower, even our genes express themselves in healthier ways because we are in healthy, loving relationships. On the flip side, when we feel disconnected, rejected, or stuck in unhealthy relationships, our bodies begin to break down too. So if you've ever felt worn down by loneliness or disconnection, it's not a character flaw. It's your body and your soul telling the truth about how each of us was made to live.
And that's why we shouldn't beat ourselves up for feeling needy when we want a deeper connection, especially when the people in our lives don't seem to want the same thing. Jesus prayed that we would be one as he and the Father are one. That longing for closeness is a sign of how we're created to live and a reminder of God's desire that we would one day participate in the communion of saints where we really will be fully one in Christ.
Now, of course, because of the fall, we can sometimes seek connection in unhealthy ways or even cling to relationships that aren't good for us. The fact is, the theology of the body reminds us that authentic connection has to always be loving and responsible. You know, God wants unity for all of his children, but not at the cost of our identity in him. The truth is, some relationships can only be healed in the next life. But when we can pursue connection in ways that bring out the best in everyone involved, we should lean into it. Because building God's kingdom means working with God's grace to create a community of love on earth that reflects the communion awaiting us in heaven. And with that, we're taking your calls on our show titled Keeping Close. Are you struggling to connect with somebody you care about? Not sure what to do next? Let us help you bridge the gap. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Let's start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring you those relationships where we would like to be closer to the person, but something's getting in the way. We recognize that you call us in your own prayer that we would all be one as you and the Father are one, and through your servant St. John Paul's writings, that to build relationship, to work with your grace to heal the damage that sin does to our ability to love each other as you love us. And so, Lord, we ask you now to give us the wisdom and the perseverance that we need to heal those relationships that are strained, to bridge the gap where there is disconnection, to bring healing where there has been disagreement or conflict. Help us to know how to be in healthy, holy relationships and pursue those deeper connections in healthy, holy ways, so that we can build your kingdom in ways that bring out the best in all of us and glorify you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name,
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Keeping Close. Are you struggling to connect with somebody you care about? Not sure what to do next? Is there a relationship in your life where you want more closeness, but you don't know how to pursue it in a healthy way? Do you feel guilty wanting a closer connection with somebody, but wondering if you're asking too much from them? Are you in a strained relationship, and you're not sure how to address those issues? and what to do with the relationship. Is there one relationship God might be asking you to heal, deepen, or approach differently so that you can build a stronger connection? Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Alana, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Long Island.
Alana, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Good morning. So my situation involves my sister-in-law. For many years, she has been somewhat hostile towards me, but I have very thick skin, so I handled it fine up until her mother's funeral some years ago. And she told my in-laws that, she stopped talking to me altogether and ignoring me, and I would greet her at family gatherings and she would just ignore me as if I wasn't there. So I later discovered that she had told my in-laws that I laughed at her mother's funeral, which looking back on the event was probably perceived to be the case because I was chasing my 3-year-old son at the time back to the car through the cemetery. And so I have not had the opportunity to tell her, look, hey, I apologize if you feel that I was disrespectful at your mom's funeral, and to kind of heal that. But admittedly, even her husband is hostile towards me as well. So I feel like I don't have
Or you mean all along?
Since then, yes. So,
and how long ago was this? When was this funeral?
Basically. This was 6 years ago now.
So ever since the day of the funeral, they've just been hostile to you, and you've never been able to make any inroads at all. And I'm sorry,
yes,
you said this
exactly.
Is your husband's sister? That's how she's your sister-in-law?
Sister-in-law, yes. My husband's.
But your husband's sister. Your husband's brother's wife. And has your brother stepped into the breach on this and asked about it or tried to help you make amends at all?
No, and unfortunately, when my sister-in-law vented to my in-laws about that, instead of saying, like, she would never do such a thing or whatever, they kind of just indulged it and said, oh, that's horrible, and left it alone. And I've asked a priest about this because I know forgiveness is so important. And while I don't necessarily want to be best buddies with her, I would like to at least be cordial and polite.
Sure. Do you see her? I mean, you said they've been treating you this way for 6 years. How often do you see them?
At every family gathering. So I would say at least 4, 5, 6 times a year. Maybe more, depending. And another issue that I have a problem with is that she's super pro-abortion, even though she claims to be Catholic. And to each their own and their mentality, but obviously there's no chance to evangelize even through example because...
Okay.
So
let me throw out a couple of ideas here, just for the sake of time. Because that issue, I mean, you can't even begin to address that unless you have some kind of relationship with her. So I apologize for cutting you off, but just in the interest of time, I want to make sure that I give you something before we have to head out for the break. So it's unfortunate that you're in this position, but let's talk about what your responsibility is here, and also what you can reasonably do. And also how to let yourself off the hook for not having to feel like you have to do more than you can reasonably do. So you said that forgiveness is important, and you're right, forgiveness is important. Forgiveness, though, is different from reconciliation, right? So forgiveness is when you give up your desire to hurt somebody for having hurt you, right? So if you were, for example, trash-talking her behind her back, if you were, wishing that something bad would happen to her because she hurt you, that would be unforgiveness. But at the point where you stop wanting to hurt her for having hurt you, or stop wanting bad things to happen to her for having hurt you, especially at the point where you're even working toward or wishing that or praying for some kind of reconciliation, you've forgiven that person. Now, reconciliation, though, is different from forgiveness. Forgiveness is the first step in reconciliation, but reconciliation requires that both people work on the relationship, that they're willing to walk that road together. And it sounds like, you know, your sister-in-law is not willing to do that. And in that case, you're not responsible to fix the relationship all by yourself. Because even God can't do that, right? You know, God did everything that he possibly could. He sent his son, who suffered, died, and rose again to open the gates of heaven and gives us that as a free and unmerited gift, right? But we still have to say, yes, Lord, and follow him. He doesn't drag us through the door to heaven. He holds it open. And if we want to walk through it, he shows us how to do that. But he doesn't make us, right? So God, even God, can't fully reconcile himself to us unless we respond to that grace. Similarly, you can't make this relationship work all by yourself. All you can do is open the door to healing and let her know that's an option that you'd like to work on.
Now, one of the covert ways to do that, if you will, I mean, the word's a little incendiary, but you'll follow me here, is to follow the path of Saint Therese of Lisieux, who had a grumpy nun, a sister of hers in the convent, that really drove her quite crazy. And she just decided to offer all that up and love this woman. And at the death of this older nun, the older nun, or maybe it was St. Therese's death, said, "I've lost my best friend." That's right, it was St. Therese's death. And had no idea that St. Therese had ever been angry to her, so and didn't like her. So really just, if the whole family's saying, oh, she wouldn't do that, and you've done everything that you can do, you may just want to be at these family gatherings and be as kind and not, you know, not hostile when you see her as possible.
One other thing that you can do before the next family gathering, right? You can send a text or an email that just says, "Hey, you know, I'm sorry that I haven't had a chance to address this, but I've heard through the grapevine that you were upset with me because you thought I was laughing at your mother's funeral." That's not what happened, really. What happened was I was chasing my 3-year-old, and I, you know, it was funny, so I did laugh, but I wasn't laughing at the funeral. And I'm so sorry if you felt disrespected by that. I would never do that, and I would never want you to feel that way. I would like us to be able to be at least cordial to each other when we get together next week.
Oh yes, that's definitely the first step, if it hasn't
right,
happened.
So you're addressing this, and please let me know if there's anything that I can do to help us get to the place where we can at least be friendly to each other. And then leave it at that. And then whenever you do see her, be polite, be friendly, you know, offer to get her a drink. You know.
Don't have, you know, what I'm thinking here is this has been festering in your mind for so long. I think most humans do this. I know I do. When I'm feeling that tension with somebody, it shows in my body. You know, my kids always say, "Mom, we know exactly what you're thinking because it shows all over your face." So work on that. You know, just take those deep breaths. Think about how much you love your rest of your family and try to be cordial and not strained.
But also don't make yourself responsible for fixing the relationship all on your own. Open the door. Let her know that it's open for her anytime she wants to walk through it. Let her know in your presence, you know, that you are being cordial to her, and that if she'd like to work on this relationship with you, you're happy to do that. Once you've done that, you've done all that God can expect you to do. And this might be one of those relationships that can't be healed in this life. But you've done everything that God has asked you to do to hold that door open and extend the invitation. Alana, thank you so much for the call. If there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach back out. My book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, goes into more detail about
very good resource
how to really
situation.
Deal with these kinds of situations in terms of setting boundaries, opening the door for possible healthy relationship, but knowing what we can and can't do, or even are obliged to do or not obliged to do as Christians. God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about keeping close. If you're struggling to connect with somebody you care about, not sure what to do next, let us help you bridge the gap. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup. She's an expert on the theology of the body and founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. Stick around for that and a whole lot more.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here, and I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
Steve and Janet Ray here, inviting you to join us in Portugal, Spain, and France as we follow the three children of Fatima and Saint Bernadette of Lourdes and encounter lots of surprises along the way. These moving apparition sights never fail to inspire awe, healing, and a love for Our Lady, exquisite countryside, and our Spanish chaplain, Father Alfonso Aguilar.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Keeping Close, as we talk about those struggles to connect with somebody that we care about, especially when they're not reaching back. What do we do? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Do we have Anastasia with us still?
Can you hear me?
Anastasia, are you there?
Hello?
Ah, we got her.
Excellent.
You.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us. So you wanted to talk a little bit about some, how the theology of the body can help us identify some practical tips for building stronger connection with the people in our lives.
Sure. Well, I love this topic, you know, the whole theology of the body, communion of persons topic. But sometimes when people hear that, well, communion of persons, you know, what does that mean? Or what does that look like practically? One of the things John Paul II talked about was the whole aspect of giving and receiving in a relationship. And that's what all of our relationships are, you know, some aspect of giving ourselves to the other and receiving the other person and accepting them. And so, you know, when you're thinking about, like, how can I build that, one of the things that comes to mind is just, you know, when you're trying to reach out to somebody or have a conversation with them, you know, listening, like asking questions, how are you doing, showing concern. You know, when people talk to me or, you know, ask me questions like, oh, how did that go? And I can tell that they're concerned about some aspect of my life. Then I'm like, oh, you know, that person actually really cares. Or they remember that I had this going on, or they, you know, that I was going through this difficult situation. And so I think that's, you know, one thing that we can do if we're trying to, you know, help build a relationship. Another thing is just asking the person, you know, well, how can I pray for you? Or is there something I can do for you? You know, if you're going through a hard time, like, you know, what can I, you know, how can I help you, sort of thing. And that, again, shows concern and to the other person that you're wanting to be there for them. And so the other thing that comes to mind is the five love languages. You know, maybe the person that, you know, has a completely different love language, you know, they have their words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, the quality of time, physical touch. Like, maybe you haven't been connecting with them in that way that they can understand that you love them. And so, you know, just thinking about that, oh, maybe I can try to approach them in a different way. These are all ways, I think, that we can help build connection with another person, and hopefully that will at least help make a step in the right direction.
What do you think about the idea, you know, when we talk about building the kingdom of God, I think most people think of kind of big ministry projects, you know, building a school, volunteering at the hospital, or, you know, whatever. And those things certainly do build the kingdom of God, but at their core, the theology of the body reminds us, I think, that the primary way we build the kingdom of God is by building those stronger connections with the people in our life, to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships, to cooperate with grace, to build those stronger connections so that we can kind of build a community of love that that sort of resembles the communion of saints that we hope to participate in at some point. I mean, what do you think about that idea, about what it means to build the kingdom?
Oh, I think that's a great point, because, you know, if we think about the whole aspect of love, right, the whole main point of life, that and our relationship with God, and that is, you know, God is love, right? And so if we're building love in our relationships, then people, the more you feel loved, the more joyful you feel, the more connection you have with people, the more joyful you feel, and, you know, the more joy you experience. And then when we are joyful, happy people, you know, that are Christians, that definitely helps build the kingdom of God, because people say, oh, I want that. You know, what do you have? Why do you have so much love and joy?
The attractive faith that St. Francis de Sales talked about. Anastasia, thanks so much for being with us. Always a pleasure. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work and your ministry to Catholic singles, I hope that they'll go to nationalcatholicsingles.com to learn more about the National Catholic Singles Conference. nationalcatholicsingles.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, on our show today titled Keeping Close. Are you struggling to connect with somebody you care about? Not sure what to do next? Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
When Jesus disappeared into the clouds, leaving his apostles behind, where did he go? According to the Catholic Catechism, he went to heaven to take his place at the right hand of the Father. Just as he descended from heaven at the moment of the Incarnation, at the Ascension, he returned to the Father, something only he, the God-man, the Son of the Father, could do. Thus, the Incarnation and the Ascension are inextricably linked. Only the one who came from the Father can return to the Father, the Catechism tells us, further stating that the ascension of the Lord introduces the irreversible entry of his humanity into divine glory, where he will be seated from this time forward at God's right hand. Left to our own devices, we mortals cannot achieve access to heaven. We are totally dependent on the merits gained for us by the one who went before us. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Did you know that up to 20% of Americans suffer from serious levels of anxiety? We all feel anxious from time to time, but when anxiety starts harming our health, relationships, or everyday activities, it's probably time to seek some advice. The good news is that anxiety wasn't part of God's blueprint for the human person. It's just one of many symptoms of a world broken by sin. And just as God wants to liberate each of us from sin and death, he wants to free each of us from unhealthy worry and anxiety too. St. Francis de Sales, for example, battled anxiety as a young man. Later in life, he wrote that, quote, "Anxiety is the greatest evil that can befall a soul except sin," unquote. But with God's help, he overcame his anxiety and went on to become one of the Church's greatest spiritual teachers. Even though anxiety disorders have complex physical, psychological, and spiritual causes, God literally created us with the capacity to live in his peace, not just in the next life, but right now. To learn more about God's promise of peace, check out my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And if you'd like more grace-filled assistance in your battle against fear, worry, or anxiety, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled Keeping Close. Is there a relationship in your life right now where you'd like more closeness, but you're not sure how to pursue it in a healthy way? Do you feel guilty for wanting a deeper connection with somebody and wonder if you're asking too much? Maybe you're in a strained relationship and you're not sure whether to keep trying or set some boundaries or just let it go already. Is there a relationship that you feel God might be asking you to heal, deepen, or approach differently so that you can build a stronger connection with that person? Whatever the situation is, let us help you bridge the gap and keep close. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Therese, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Is it Therese or Therese?
Therese, how I say it.
Therese, hi. Excellent. There you go. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
I have sort of a subtle question, and I hope it's not too confusing, but I have had, throughout my life, I've had some deep friendships with men, and really some fruitful ones, but also, you know, because I'm a woman, I'm a single woman, I'm actually kind of discerning whether I might be called to some sort of single vocation or, you know, religious life, but there are definitely boundaries that come up with men sometimes, and I've actually kind of studied the theology of the body with the kind of looking for answers to kind of a hurt or wound that I have in my heart around this, because I long for deep, authentic friendship with men in my life, and have had some of that, but always feel like I hit up against a wall, or, you know, struggles with attractions and things where, you know, one or the other of us isn't interested in more. But in my heart, honestly, friendship is the more that I want. And I've had to, you know, walk away from some relationships because of the tension and because I need to respect other people's feelings. And
so, Therese, let me ask you, what's your goal here? Is your goal to have more friendships with men, or is your goal to actually find somebody to marry? What's the goal?
I'm feeling less drawn to marriage and more just, how do I respectfully be friends with men as probably a single woman? I don't know whether I'm going to be discerning like a consecrated virginity type vocation or perhaps religious life, but that is my goal.
And just so I can know where you are on the path of this, have you started working with any kind of spiritual director to help your discernment process about your vocation?
I'm just starting that. So I'm in the very early stages.
Okay.
All right. And so going back to the relationship thing, what would you say, do you have male friends right now?
I do have a couple.
And what's different about those relationships as opposed to the relationships that you're saying haven't worked?
Yes. Just more boundaries, I guess. Certain times of the day and certain amounts of talking that we just don't do, and, you know, less one-on-one time, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to apply those same principles to relationships with other men that you wanted to cultivate a friendship with, what do you think would happen there?
Yeah, I think in the past I didn't understand the importance of these boundaries and the fact that you have to be wise and prudent about these things. So, yeah, I think that is the source of the hurts that I experienced.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You just have to kind of accept there are limits. and that was really...
Yeah, well it depends on the kind of relationship that you want.
And right? I appreciate you're using, you know, the words of wise and prudent, and those are very good virtues. But also, Therese, I think that just honesty, you know, the way you're setting boundaries with these two other gentlemen, you need to do that in these situations, because everybody on the planet, for the most part, the highest percentage of people on the planet, if they are not called to a religious vocation, are looking for a spouse. Because as we talked about in our Theology of the Body reflection, people are called to communion. And so we're all yearning for that deep connection. So being honest with these guys, I'll see you at this time and that time, and here are the boundaries, and because I'm looking for this kind of relationship. Being clear about that.
And I want to be this kind of person. You know, I'm pursuing this kind of vocation.
And this kind of life of virtue, whether God says, yes, Therese, I have somebody for you for the sacrament of marriage. He's not in your pathway yet, but he's coming. This is how I'm preparing you. Or he has a religious vocation for you, or whatever your path is that God has chosen for you and created you for. You want to be as virtuous as you're being now, but with a clear honesty with any of the other people that you're talking to, so they don't feel like if they could just break you down, break your reserve down, they could become emotionally closer to you.
So I think that, you know, the struggle you've had to know what you wanted to do with your life has caused you to not be as clear as you needed to be about the kind of boundaries that there needed to exist in the relationship with other men in the past, and that as you clarify what God is calling you to in this phase of your life, you know, you'll be able to communicate that more effectively. I think even now you could say if you meet a guy that you'd like to be friends with, that, you know, I'm trying to discern religious life, but I'm interested in you as a friend. I'd love to get together, and then you set the kind of boundaries that you have with your other male friends that allow you to have that relationship without
leading either of you into a temptation for something that's deeper in any way, shape, or form than you feel is appropriate for your life now.
That said, you know, just based on some of the things that you also mentioned to our screener, you know, in addition to the spiritual direction, talk to your spiritual director about whether he or she thinks it would be useful for you to receive any kind of pastoral counseling to heal any internal wounds that would kind of muddy the waters for you.
As you mentioned,
in terms of, you know, because you don't want to just fall into a religious vocation because you aren't successful in relationship, right? If you have a calling, you should also be able to have healthy relationships with people, even if you're called to consecrated virginity. And so talk with your spiritual director about whether he or she thinks that you need to do any of that deeper healing that allows you to have secure attachment with other people, regardless of the path of life that God is walking you in, so that as you heal those things, you can be clear to yourself and to others what your vocation really is, and how this relationship that you're cultivating can serve that vocation.
Because, Therese, I want to say this to you right now. I'm really feeling like the Holy Spirit is telling me to say this. God loves you, Therese. You personally. Just as you are right this moment, he loves you, and he wants to bring you healing and wholeness and an abundance of his love. And the way you end up living out your life, the vocation he leads you to, the path he leads you down, is future, and he's got it in his hands. But he wants you to feel wonderful about who you are as his beloved daughter now. And when you hear me say those words, if you feel that little wincing that says, oh, well, maybe I'm not worthy of that, or maybe this got in my way, that's what you bring to a pastoral counselor. And you work through, because God wants you to be so wide open to his love and his image of who he created you to be and who you are as his daughter of the Most High God. So if you don't feel like that sits with you right, then definitely seek some pastoral counseling so that God can bring that healing into your life and you can experience his love as fully as possible.
So that's a long-term goal. But in the short term, just by looking at the male relationships that you have now and looking at the boundaries you have there that allow you to maintain those relationships, apply those to the other relationships you're trying to cultivate with other men in your life so that you're able to be clear about what this relationship should be and how it serves your ultimate vocation. Therese, thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you in your journey, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd be happy to hook you up with one of our team members to help you clarify what God is calling you to in your life and, you know, remove any of the obstacles, either external or internal, that you might find as you try to pursue that path and other healthy relationships. CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, on our show today titled Keeping Close. Are you struggling to connect with somebody that you care about and you're not sure what to do? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26.
If one member suffers, all suffer together. if one member is honored, all rejoice together.
You know, and this is going back to our theology of the body reflection, where we were talking about how we are not created to be alone. We have a tendency to think of ourselves as individuals, but nobody is an individual. In fact, St. John Paul used the word person, because in philosophy, the word person is all tied up in relationship. To be is to be in relationship to others. That's kind of the definition of what a person is philosophically. And so we're not individuals, we're persons who are in community with each other and who need community with each other. And as St. Paul points out, if one member suffers, all of us suffer together. If one member is honored, all of us rejoice together. So, if you are having a hard time keeping connected to the people that you care about in your life, let us help you bridge the gap. 877-573-7825.
Because if you're listening to this scripture and you're thinking, I don't see that anywhere in the world, especially right now, well, that's because the world's a broken place. But this scripture reminds us of what we are truly made for and called to. This communion that we will have forever, and the communion of saints as well. And so we need to bring healing into these relationships and do the best we can this side of heaven to be a community of love.
So if there's a relationship in your life right now that you'd like to experience more closeness in, but you're not sure how to pursue it in a healthy way, if you feel guilty for wanting a deeper connection but wonder if maybe you're asking too much, maybe you're in a strained relationship with somebody you care about, but you're not sure whether to keep trying or set boundaries or just let it go, is there one relationship God might be asking you to heal, deepen, or approach differently so that you can build a stronger community of love? 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your calls right after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, the show is titled Keeping Close. We talk about the struggle to connect with the people in our lives and how to bridge those gaps. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Julie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
On Covenant Catholic Radio. Hey, Julie, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hey guys, it's me again. I'm one of the random regular callers.
Well, thank you for your loyalty. What can we do for you, Julie?
I this has been weighing on my heart, and your topics, gosh, you know, I don't, you guys are such a big part of my morning. Like, my morning is off if I don't have to the Dr. Pop Tech show and then pray the rosary afterwards.
Well, so, thank you.
You have a diehard fan. You guys' knowledge and wisdom.
You're the one. Cool. No, I'm just kidding. So, how come
so what's going on,
you,
Julie?
You were saying that you're estranged from your mother-in-law because of some behavior at your wedding, and that your husband's kind of reluctant to heal things with her, but you're not sure whether you should start that conversation?
Right. So he says, I'm going to call her. He never does, and I'm sure he wants to, and I think he just doesn't want to have to, you know, face her wrath again, because it's one of those things where she'll sit down, I'm sorry for everything, let's just move forward. And, like, you can't talk about anything or she'll stomp out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have been very, very angry about it because it was a day that I can't get back, you know, as you dream about as a little girl. And I'm finally at a point where if I saw her on the street, I'd give her a hug, you know? And it's just in my spirit just bothering me. Like, mother.
And how long ago was this, by the way?
11 years, our entire marriage.
Whoa!
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And so you haven't had any contact with her that whole time?
Very little. Very little.
No Christmases, no Thanksgiving, no nothing.
No Thanksgivings, no New Year's, no birthdays, no kids' birthdays. They've never met.
And I can certainly understand why that would be painful. So let's talk about kind of what your role here is in supporting your husband and trying to figure out what to do about this. I would say it's not your job to do an end run around him to try to start the conversation, because that puts you in a vulnerable position. You're sticking yourself between your husband and your mother-in-law, and that's called triangulation, and nothing ever good comes from that.
Either
you get ground up between the two of them, or your husband resents you for reaching out, or she bites your head off, and then, you know, he says, see, I told you so, and it confirms for him that he shouldn't reach out to her. So I would not suggest that you do that and run around him to reach out to her directly.
And I think that you need to also realize that, as you said, this is who she is. So it's not the one incident all these years ago at your wedding. When you say to your husband, oh, you should make peace with her, what he's thinking, the reel that's playing in his head, is all the other things, his whole being raised by her. She did stuff like this. And he just doesn't have the energy or the hope that she would suddenly become a whole healed person that he could have a normal mother-son relationship with. He's worn out by even thinking about it.
Now, what your role would be is to be praying with your husband about this situation.
Exactly.
And asking God how he wants the two of you, but him in particular, to handle this in the healthiest way. Because as we were talking about earlier, you know, God does want us to pursue connection, but he wants us to pursue it in a way that doesn't undermine our dignity in Christ. Right? He wants us to pursue it in a way that's healthy. And he wants to make sure that we are pursuing relationships that are healthy and holy. If you just walk back into this relationship with your mother-in-law, you know, it's going to be like walking into a buzzsaw. So what you really need to be able to do is be praying with your husband and discerning, what is it that we need to communicate to mother-in-law? Have we communicated that? And then what needs to happen next? So, for instance, let's talk a little bit about boundaries here. A good boundary doesn't just cut people off. It actually doesn't cut people off at all. It gives them a healthy way to do the thing that they were trying to do in an unhealthy way. So you say to you might at some point need to communicate to your mother-in-law, we would like to have a relationship with you, but in order to make that happen, we would need to see X, Y, and Z from you. You know, we need to see that you get that your behavior at the wedding was really hurtful. We'd need to see a real apology for that, not just a, oh, yeah, well, let's move past it now. We'd need to see you doing, you know, really listening to us when we talk to you instead of just, you know, shining us on, or whatever it is.
And monitoring your emotional temperature so you don't act in a inflammatory way again.
So, you know, you identify a handful of those things that you would need to see from her to know it was safe to be in a relationship with her. And that holds the door open to reconciliation. It is not your job to drag her through that door, though, like we were talking about with our first caller of the day.
Alana,
You know, even Jesus doesn't do that. He leaves the door open, but we have to walk through it. He respects our free will. So you communicate to your mother-in-law, this is what we would need to see from you in order to have a relationship with you. And then you let her decide. If she chooses to not walk through the door you're holding open, you haven't cut her off. You're just not letting her, you're not stopping her from alienating herself. And that's a very different thing. Right? So as Christians, you know, we're not called to make connection happen at all costs. We're called to make connection happen if we can do it in a healthy way, and to a healthy, holy person, you know, and in ways that allow us both to be our best selves, or work toward that anyway, right? Because none of us are completely there. So I would say that your role is to support your husband in where he's at right now, but be praying about it together, asking yourselves, have we communicated to mother-in-law what we would need to see from her to make reconciliation possible? If not, how could we do that at this point? If yes, then what do we need to do to kind of let ourselves off the hook and focus on the things that we need to be focusing on in our life and let this relationship go until or unless she wants to walk through that door?
And again, you know, Julie, from what you've told us today, she's made no effort in this reconciliation. Now, as a mother of several children, if one of my children said, Mom, you totally wrecked our day, you embarrassed me, in any situation, especially something as cataclysmic as their wedding, I would be bending over backwards and begging for forgiveness and knocking on their door till I got it. So there's something here in your mother-in-law that is not even reaching out for reconciliation with her own son. So that tells you a lot. And you really may just have to say, you know what, my husband really does know what his experience is, and it went before this wedding ever happened, and it's been many years, and she hasn't really tried. So we'll pray about this very hard together, but be prepared to just say, this is something that may not be able to be healed this side of heaven, unless your mother-in-law suddenly has a, you know, truly come to Jesus moment and realizes that she needs to repent of this and make amends for the things that she's done to him.
Yeah, we just have to be careful to not let unhealthy guilt motivate us to enter into relationships that are unhealthy or pursue relationships in a way that would be unhealthy. Because what often happens is we set boundaries in anger. We say, well, I'm so upset at what you did, I don't want to see
you. Yes, so many
And then
times.
We calm down. And we weren't really setting a boundary. We were just expressing a feeling.
Slamming a door just in anger, yeah.
And so once we calm down, the boundary isn't there anymore because we feel differently. So the main goal here, as we said, is to communicate clearly to your mother-in-law what you'd need to see from her in order to know she was safe to be in relationship with. If you've done that, great. You've done your bit. If you haven't, then that would be the next step. But then you get on with your life because she can either walk through the door or not, and that's really up to her. We don't do anything to intentionally alienate anybody, but we don't stop them from alienating themselves. All right. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you, Julie. And I know that you do your rosary right after you're done listening to us. So go do that rosary. Please pray for us and our ministry, and just pray that you would have clarity of the way and your husband would as well.
Well, that's all the time we've got for today's program. And as we're winding up here, you know, again, I just want to highlight the idea that yes, we are created for connection. That longing that you have to be close to that person in your life that you're not as close as you'd like to be is real. But we also need to be mindful that we pursue relationships in healthy ways and that we pursue healthy relationships. Because God does not want us to pursue relationship at the risk of losing our identity in Him. And if being around somebody brings out the worst in us, then that relationship is an occasion of sin for us.
Yeah.
If us being around somebody brings out the worst in them, then that relationship is a near occasion of sin for that person. And if we can address that and say, hey, you know, this isn't healthy, what this relationship is bringing out in me isn't great, or what it's bringing out in you isn't good, what do we need to do about that? Well, that's good. That's cooperating with grace to do what God's asking us to do. But just keeping up that relationship for the sake of saying, I'm doing it, even when it's bringing out the worst in both of us, that's not what God's calling us to. So if you're struggling with that, or if you'd like to figure out how to build greater connection in healthy ways with the people in your life, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Next time, remember, and until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.